This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and our top story today, as it has been pretty much every day over the last year, is the coronavirus. We're going to spend some time looking at how two of Boston's iconic institutions have fared 1 year into the pandemic. We begin with a one-year checkup from Massachusetts General Hospital. To help us with that is Dr. Peter Slavin, president of Mass General. Dr. Slavin, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
So earlier this week, the Commonwealth marked the one-year anniversary of the first confirmed COVID case. I want to know, do you remember hearing about that first case, and what did you think at that time?
I heard back in January from some of our infectious disease and emergency preparedness staff that they had become aware of this virus in China and were concerned about the potential that it had. And so we actually started our emergency planning activities back then and then turned them on in earnest later that month when it became clear that the virus had spread out of China and was likely going to be in the Boston area before too long.
So you were really treating it as it's a matter of time. We've got a switch. We're ready to flip. And you actually flipped the switch, it sounds like, before the first case was confirmed here in the Commonwealth.
That's correct. And it's hard to believe that we've last week celebrated our one-year anniversary of our emergency preparedness command center. Normally under, when we deal with emergencies, be they marathon bombings or nightclub fires, we are in this mode for a few days, but to be in it for a year has been an extraordinary thing to watch.
That sounds exhausting. Can you try to help us understand what the hospital, your staff, the patients have been through in this past year?
I mean, certainly one of the most inspirational parts of this for me has just been to see how our staff has responded. I think early on, they were a little bit excited about being right on the front lines of perhaps our nation's biggest problem in our generation. But I think over time, that excitement sort of wore out. And the fear, the exhaustion associated with caring for patients with this pandemic took over. I'm pleased to say that I think the staff is in good shape. Some of them clearly have been traumatized by what they went through, particularly in the spring. This year, I mean, in the last few months, as we've seen another surge, fortunately much smaller than the one we saw last spring. I think, and our staff knows much better how to care for these patients. They become reasonably routine. I think the staff is much more relaxed and it feels much more like business as usual at the hospital.
Was there for you ever a moment when you thought, oh, this is going to be too much. We will not keep up. We are going to be overrun.
Yeah, when the numbers in the spring kept climbing and we got up as high as 400 inpatients with COVID-19 and almost 200 of whom were in our intensive care units. I mean, we had developed plans to be able to care for more patients, maybe as many as 300 ICU patients, but we just didn't know when the numbers were going to start to turn in the right direction. And so there was some fear that they would exceed our ability to care for patients. And I guess using a nautical analogy, that the sea would breach the sea wall. Fortunately, that didn't happen. The numbers started heading back in the right direction. We had a bit of a respite over the summer when the numbers were really small. And then they've come back, in the case of Mass General, to about a third of what they were last spring.
Dr. Slavin, what about patient care? As a layperson, it seems that a year ago we really didn't know how to respond to COVID-19, especially as severe cases started to emerge. Is patient treatment substantially different now? And has it gotten better? Has it stayed largely the same?
Yeah, well, caring for patients with any disease, I mean, there's a certain rhythm to it. You sort of know the moves that the disease makes and can respond to them. Early on, we didn't really know the moves of this particular disease. And so every case was a bit of an adventure. And obviously, since that time, we've also had some therapeutics that have come into the marketplace that seem to make a difference for people in various stages of illness, be they monoclonal antibodies, remdesivir, steroids. There's no doubt that those individually and sometimes in combination can help as well.
Any game changers among that list, Dr. Slavin? One that once you were finally able to use it with patients, you were like, okay, now, you know, now we've really got something here.
I think probably the biggest game changer has been the steroids, dexamethasone, a medicine that's been with us for a number of years. I remember using it when I was a resident at Mass General. More recently, there's been some very positive data about some of the monoclonal antibodies suggesting that they can reduce hospitalization rates and also reduce deaths among outpatients with COVID-19. So those studies have just recently come out, and so I have my fingers crossed that those antibodies will be even more of a significant weapon against this disease than we initially thought.
So, that kind of makes me want to transition to vaccinations. And I think the way I'll do that is I'll ask you, we talked to the developer of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at the beginning of the week, Dr. Dan Baruch, and they started working on a vaccine really in late January. Did we as a medical community get the balance right between pursuing a vaccine and pursuing treatments in those early months of of the pandemic?
I mean, I think we did. In addition to the heroism of healthcare workers this past year, one of the other inspirational things for me has just been to see the power of modern medical science and the way the scientific community has pivoted to address COVID-19. I mean, we now have less, just a little more than a year after we became aware of this disease, two vaccines that we're actively using. Hopefully, the Johnson and Johnson vaccine that Dr. Baruch was behind will get approved by the FDA in the coming days. And so that gives us a lot of hope for the future. I think therapeutics are actually harder to develop than vaccines, particularly against viruses. There are a number of candidates, well, number of some drugs that have already come on the market, other candidates being tested, but I don't think it's any surprise that their impact on the disease is probably in the long run going to be less than that of vaccines.
So let's stay with vaccines. I'm sure you're aware that Governor Baker says that the Commonwealth started with a slow, targeted rollout so that we could get to some very specific vulnerable populations. Do you believe that was the right strategy at the beginning?
I've been on regular phone calls with Governor Baker, Secretary Sutters, and have just been continuously impressed at how thoughtfully they've approached this pandemic. I think it's a result of recommendations coming out of the National Academy. Massachusetts initially decided to vaccinate healthcare workers and first responders, and then turned its attention to the general population. And I'm thrilled that at Mass General and across our health system, Mass General Brigham, and across the state, we've begun vaccinating people over the age of 75. I think some other states have taken a more helter-skelter, less focused approach to vaccination, but I think this is probably the right one, and I think it's recently entered a new phase that we're extremely excited about.
Has Mass General vaccinated its entire staff at this point, or most of the staff?
We've offered it to our entire staff. I think somewhere over 80% of the staff have been vaccinated with at least one dose, and there are a number of people who were scheduled for their second dose. So the vast majority of our staff has taken the vaccine.
And was that the decision to offer it to everyone? Was that a hospital decision, or was that direction that you received from the Commonwealth?
No, we abide by the Commonwealth's direction. One of our physicians, Dr. Bittinger, is chairing the committee at the state level that's advising the administration on vaccine deployment. So we have input into the state's priorities, but once those priorities and rules are set, we're obliged to follow them.
So I'm sure you're aware that there's been some discussion about that. And in a story about who and hospitals are getting vaccinated, Michael Mina, who's a professor at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health, told NPR, quote, "We're seeing just a huge number of people get vaccinated, who I think should frankly be way down the line. These are people who have nothing to do at all with COVID or with patient care or really with the hospitals," end quote. I want to ask you, do you understand where that criticism and concern comes from, and how do you respond to it? I'm sure you've heard this as the head of Mass General.
No, I have heard that criticism, and I understand it. Whenever you have a resource that everybody in our society desperately wants, and you only have a limited amount of it, there inevitably are going to be unhappy people until much further along in the rollout. I think the rationale for the decision to go forward with healthcare workers was just to make sure that we had the workforce on hand necessary to care for everyone else. And yes, there are people who, in their day-to-day job, may be working in a research laboratory at Mass General, but during the first wave, and even to some degree during this wave, we've redeployed that staff so that they are helping with various patient care activities, be it registering patients for their vaccination, be it keeping an eye on monitors for our busy clinical staff in our intensive care unit. So we've redeployed many people within our staff to help out with this epidemic.
So you said about 80% of the staff that you've invited to be vaccinated have been. I don't know if this is the right way to think about it, but in fact, I'm guessing it's not. But does that help you achieve some kind of herd immunity inside the hospital network? Or do you feel an urgency that you hope to convince the rest of the staff to be vaccinated? How are you thinking about that?
Yeah, we want everybody ultimately to get vaccinated, but we're not forcing it, unlike with influenza, just because these vaccines are being issued under an emergency authorization. So we think people should have the right to decide whether to get it or not. Yeah, certainly having everybody in the hospital vaccinated will help, but those same people are going home, going into the community, and so it doesn't really provide herd immunity for our entire community, but it certainly keeps a higher percentage of them well and able to care for others.
And do you know, at the hospital, do you know in advance how many doses you are getting? And have you had to hold any doses back due to the phasing? We know the Commonwealth has distributed only about 60% of the doses it has received.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there is, I think there's been greater clarity in the last few weeks about the vaccine pipeline, but it still has to go from the manufacturers to the federal government to the states, and then distributed by the states to hospitals, pharmacies, large vaccination centers. So that process is pretty cumbersome from beginning to end. My understanding is that the way it's working now is that we're going to be told every Friday how much vaccine to expect for the following week, starting on Wednesday. And so we'll be able to flex up or down our vaccination capacity based on the allotment we'll be getting from the state. But the amount of vaccine relative to the demand is still small. We have across our health system, Mass General Brigham, 150,000 patients over the age of 75 who are eligible for vaccine. And this past week, we were told by the state that we were getting 10,000 vaccine doses. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of very disappointed patients over the age of 75 who we can't help this week and who are scrambling to find other vaccination opportunities in the community.
So Dr. Slavin, briefly before we let you go, where are you feeling the greatest sense of urgency right now?
Clearly the greatest focus at the moment has been on vaccination and trying to get that out as quickly as possible and as equitably as possible. I guess the other thing that's lurking in my mind are these variants and how much of a setback they're going to cause us in the long term. This virus clearly is able to mutate as most viruses can. So far, despite its mutations, it seems to still be vulnerable to vaccines and therapeutics. But I guess that's my greatest concern. It does, in general, look like we're heading down, we're over the hump and maybe heading down the slope to the finish line. But certainly a variant could emerge that could dash those hopes. I certainly hope not.
And that is Dr. Peter Slavin, president of Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Slavin, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care.